One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. It is Red Men Radio, the Liverpool podcast by me, Paul Machin, that man, Chris Pajak of the Red Men TV. Our kickoff question this week comes from Josh, who's at Cater Edition, which is the new Cater Edition 2, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
Or Cater Edition 1, I can only imagine. You've been kidnapped, Chris, and taken hostage, and the only way they will let you go is if you pick a Liverpool player to win a dance-off against one of them. Who do you pick and why? Also love the podcast, lads. Is there an answer here that isn't Roberto Firmino?
No.
You've gone for Firmino?
I've gone for Firmino.
The only alternative, and it only just came to me because I accidentally did his dance celebration prior to film, is Daniel Sturridge. I reckon Sturridge has got moves beyond that dance. If you had to pick a Liverpool player, I'm just going to spin this slightly because this is how I read it at first. You had to pick a Liverpool player to beat in a dance-off.
Yeah.
Who would you pick?
Roberto Firmino.
You think you could beat Roberto Firmino in a dance-off?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. That's how the question's phrased, and that's how I'm answering the question. You know, I want to be at my absolute peak when I'm coming into this dance contest. I'm better under pressure in these type of situations, so I want the best that Liverpool have got, because I know that I can raise my game.
Right.
And I don't want to just beat, like, Alberto Moreno in a dance-off, because there's no kudos to that, is there? No one's going, oh, Pajak, he only beat Moreno, you know? It's like when Leicester won the league.
Yeah.
You know, they don't... Yeah, you got your 5,000 to one and all that shit, like. But really, you didn't beat anyone, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If they beat this Manchester City side, everyone would be going, wow, Leicester City, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's
what I'm all about. I'm about smashing Roberto Firmino's face in a dance-off. Me and him, mano y mano, and coming out there, just the best dancer that Liverpool FC have ever seen.
Okay, cool. Brilliant, there you go. Perfect, I don't think I could be topped, if I'm perfectly honest. Yeah. But I was going to go with Mignolet, because he's just, I can't see that Mignolet's got moves. So if I wanted to win, I'd want to win convincingly. I'd want to look splendid, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
so I was watching Vampirina yesterday with the girls while they were sick. Disney show.
About a little
vampire. And she had a dance-off with, what was his name? Drago, the dancer. And she raised the game to it. So this question couldn't have come at a better
couldn't
time.
Couldn't have come at a better time. Brilliant. News.
Episode 4, Series 1, Vampirina. OG.
Paulo Dybala is being strongly linked with Liverpool. How strong it is, I'm not really sure. We've covered this on a Reds transfer roundup special over on the redmentv.com. A lot of people are talking about it's international break, naturally. It's been reported. I've seen people reporting it. It's been reported here and here and here. It's Tutone Mercato, I think. I'm sceptical, although it's been said, and I don't know how true this is, that apparently they were the first to break the Fabinho stuff. So, you know, bully for them. We did a good debate. I wanted your opinion on this. I know you're a big Dybala fan. Dybala? Yes.
Yes, maybe. Please. Maybe. All day.
Where does he play for us?
For us? Mm. 10.
Yeah. So he's one of them where you just jettison 4-3-3 to put Dybala in there?
I don't know, because I think the easy answer is yeah, why not? You know, we've seen us play well in 4-2-3-1 this season. We've come up against some opposition that maybe have worked us out, and we've changed back to get a little bit more out of our attacking players and stuff. But, you know, when you talk about 4-2-3-1, when you talk about 4-3-3, really it's the fourth man that joins the attack that breaks the other team down, yep, doesn't it? That's what it becomes difficult to cover and stuff. So, for me, whether the ball is brought in as a 10 and plays deeper, or what, I don't know. We've seen Wijnaldum do it. He's dropped... You know, we've seen Shaqiri talked about him playing in centre midfield.
Dybala is this big, which is an issue.
Yeah, it is, maybe. But so's David Silva. And he's one of those players where you go,
yeah.
Touch. Can he play in centre midfield? Would you have said 10 years ago David Silva was going to be one of the best centre midfielders in the Premier League? No. Mm. Is he? Yes.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing for me is that if we play 4-3-3, I don't think he fits in. That's kind of his problem. He's suffering with at Juventus this season. Like, his goal scoring has dropped off a cliff. I actually wrote it down. Last season he scored 26 and 46 in all comps, 22 and 33 in Serie A. He's only got 4 and 25 in Serie A this season, but he's playing on the right for them more often than not this season. So I don't think he necessarily fits perfect. I don't think there's a position in our 4-3-3 that gets the guaranteed best out of him. But he'd be better than anyone else we've got to play the 10 if we played 4-2-3-1. You think about the issues we've had with Roberto Firmino. You did a lot on it this season. How he was performing really well for the team in the 10. Dybala will score you 20 goals from that position. For Firmino won't. Mm. And that for me, if you wanted to move back towards that, if we wanted to have that formation as our, you know, we play 20 games a season in that formation and we want to beat everyone 5-0 who we're playing, then just go.
The other thing is, I don't know. Like, listen, none of us know what Klopp's plan is for next season. I'm not sure Klopp does right now because I think he's so focused on this season. Obviously, he may be looking a bit further forward than I'm giving him credit for, as he is a top
Edward
manager.
Certainly will be.
Yeah, definitely. But is there any reason Dybala couldn't play the Firmino position?
That's an interesting shout, definitely. That we talk about him playing in multiple positions. You wouldn't necessarily want him playing wide left or wide right, but he can. You know, he's doing it for Juventus. So he's clearly good enough to do it. Whether he's not doing it to the level that Salah's doing it or Mane's doing it for us, playing wide, of course. But you're right, he scores goals as the 9 and he scores goals as the 10. Then, you know, could he be a 9.5 Liverpool? Again, my slight concern is I think he's a little small for the Premier League to be leading the line in that regard. And it's telling that Juventus, I think you've used them less. They themselves have used them less as a centre forward and more as a 10, as you know, in recent years. I don't think we're aware side for having him.
He's just a quality footballer. And that's whenever I watch Juventus and whenever I see him play, every time he picks the ball up, whether he gets goals or assists, I'm like, man, that kid's got something.
Yeah.
And it's visible to everybody. It's not just someone going, I think he might be good. The lad's fucking class.
We've talked about what Liverpool should be in the transfer market and for years, and we're finally now, I think, in the situation where we can be what we've always wanted to be, which is a team that promotes from within. So you don't need to go out and buy a second choice left back, right back, DM, centre back, etc., or fifth choice centre back. You promote them from your academy and you build them up within your own system, but that affords you the ability to go out and buy the best of the best.
Absolutely.
In the positions where you haven't got that quality necessarily to come through. And at the minute, you know, again, the 4-3-3 doesn't make perfect sense for me. There might be better options, someone who's a bit more robust to maybe do the Lallana Oxlade-Chamberlain thing. But if you wanted a 10, there's a few 10s out there who have got that level of quality. And it is that thing of, it just tells the world, just go, yeah. We mean business. We can afford to go out and spend our big... We don't need to fix the squad anymore.
Yeah.
We can afford to add gems to this side.
Absolutely. And listen, it goes in part. I don't know whether the question's in here or whether I just saw something on Twitter, someone asking us about it, but we're a final destination club. You know, we're back into the quarterfinals of the Champions League. We're at the top of the Premier League table. We made the Champions League final last season. And now Paulo Dybala is not an unachievable type of player anymore. It's like, no, seriously. Seriously.
In years gone
by, he can go to Liverpool and he'll be quite happy at Liverpool.
Exactly. You know, 25 years old, that's one of those situations where if he's slightly out of favour and he's slightly unhappy, if they hadn't signed Ronaldo, I don't think we'd be in this situation. I don't think this conversation would even be worth having. But he's not being used in the same way. He's being marginalised in that side. And all of a sudden, you're looking at it and going, there's Liverpool, exciting, young, vibrant. They're doing all the similar things. You know, they're doing the similar things to Juventus. He's got 3 Serie A titles in the bag. You know, if they win the Champions League this season, they'll have that. If not, then it's another thing to say, well, I'm only going to go to another club who's going to be in contention. And Liverpool will be one of those sides. So, no, I don't think it'll happen ultimately, but it's... I don't think it's a ridiculous conversation.
No.
You know, 3 years ago, Chelsea written all over him, or Man City written all over him, whereas I feel like Liverpool could go in that market. And he would be, for me, we still haven't bought that, in inverted commas, Coutinho replacement. And I don't think he is necessarily a direct replacement, but he is that lad. He's a goal-scoring threat from slightly deeper, which is something we, I think, actually criminally lack.
I agree with that.
Speaking of which, Coutinho is available for £85 million, apparently.
Is he?
Apparently.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he really?
This is all the talk, isn't it? That apparently, you know, they're going to accept offers in the region of 85, which is just fucking hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. I don't mind Phil Coutinho as a personal. I'm at that age now where I don't take all that stuff as personally as I did with the player I'm going to talk about in a minute. compared to it's Fernando Torres,
the birthday boy.
Yeah. Personally, I keep going back to this. We've said this before. If we could have got him in January on the cheap, just for the sake of having a lad who would have fit in with what we do. I've seen people talking about it. I can't see Jurgen Klopp wanting Felipe Coutinho back at Liverpool. I think he's, you know, he hates working with players that he's already worked with. He made a great comment. You can take this one of both ways in his press conference leading up to Bayern, where he was asked about Liverpool don't score goals from outside the box anymore. He basically said 60% of those came from Felipe Coutinho, you know, and the shots that he would take. He's not aware, he's fully aware of what type of player Coutinho is. Just hypothetically, if you could sell Coutinho for 140 or whatever we sold him for and buy him back for 85...
Right now, so summer, yeah. No. January, I was all over it. Yeah. January, I was like, yeah, absolutely, strengthen us for the running and stuff like that. But right now, I'm like, no, why? Because I think you can spend that 85 million on somebody better.
Let's say Dybala.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you rather? Let us know actually in the comments or tweet us at the Redmen TV. Who would you rather? We're just making up the figure for Dybala, of course, but I'm probably Coutinho as well, to be fair. But would you rather have Dybala or Coutinho for £85 million? Yeah, as your one big summer signing for Liverpool this season, you can only have one. Who is it? Let us know. Fernando Torres, it's his 35th birthday today.
I can't believe he's still younger than me. How is he not caught up with me?
Yeah, how is he not caught up? It's shocking, really, isn't it? Yeah, it's funny as they have a few people talk. Obviously, it's led to a lot of conversations around him. It's weird how he's managed to kind of win the Liverpool fan base over. I mean, the fact that he never signed for Man United helps, but and the fact that he was awful at Chelsea, so we kind of got to laugh, and he never did any harm to us along the way as well. But that was the last football player to break my heart was Fernando Torres leaving. And I've never been the same. But think about that era. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast the other week. On this day on Facebook, it was funny how it was timed that I had one post from 1 year saying I've got permission of my wife to name our first kid Fernando. And then 1 year after the day, I've only just noticed how much Fernando Torres does look like a ladyboy. Because obviously we just sold him to Chelsea. And yeah, it's funny, we've definitely come back the other way. I'm able to look at him fondly. I probably shouldn't, but I am. What about you?
It's easy to remember the good times, isn't it? And I think that's what he's the type of person that you are and the type of person that I am. You'd rather remember the happy times than the shit that he put us through towards the end. I'm fine with Torres. You know, he's gone on. He's had a good career afterwards. He still won trophies, albeit for Spain, not Chelsea and stuff like that. Although he did win the European Cup, yeah. So, yeah, listen, he's in the past, to be honest with you. And had it not been his birthday, I wouldn't have given him a thought today. And yeah, I'm okay.
It was watching those highlights of the day. Did you see them? It was the Iker Casillas highlights from when we battered Real Madrid, and it was like a 2.5 minute highlight reel of Casillas pulling up save after save after save. And there's one where the ball gets fizzed into Torres's feet, and he does this like semi Cruyff turn in one touch, and Lee, I think it's Cannavaro, leaves him dead, and he puts it wide. And I just was like, you forget. It's like when I watch highlights of Suarez. Fernando Torres at the peak of his powers, pure first time around blonde Fernando Torres, 07 to 09, was absolutely something else. Just the way he glided past players, that pace, the power, into Milan in the Champions League, all those kind of stuff. Yeah, he was brilliant. And
he still has one of the best chants that we've had.
We were talking about this before, we were saying this, it's phenomenal. Yeah, the Torres chants is absolutely top.
We're going to bounce in him, man. That was just beautiful.
Jen Jacquiri has, depending on which outlet you're reading, either got a swollen groin or a swollen pubic area, Chris, and so he's pulled out of Swiss international duty. It's interesting because we've been asking the question of, like, why hasn't Jacquiri been more involved? And does look like, you know, we knew he had a stomach problem. He's been put back into it. It looks like this is, you know, a persistent thing, which is perversely kind of good, because I'm glad that it's...
Well, it just stops everyone talking about why isn't he getting an opportunity. I'll be honest with you, the last few weeks, I haven't thought he's deserved an opportunity anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I thought his form when... a little bit like that. I'm not saying it fell off a cliff or anything, but it wasn't as good as it was earlier on in the season. I don't think, you know, that move to 4-3-3 will have stunted it as well a little bit. I think, you know, he was just so perfect for that right-hand side in the 4-2-3-1 for what we were doing at the time. But in a 4-3-3, can you trust him to do all the defensive work? I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure he will do. I'm sure he'll come back and he'll prove me wrong in this. But actually, he might have just needed that time anyway, in the same way that Fabinho needed time to get into the side.
Yeah.
We played a formation there that actually facilitated his role in the side. Then we moved to a formation that he's not really played before, when he has to do a little bit more defensive work from a forward position. He might have just needed time. On top of that, he's now got an injury and stuff as well. It's good because it stops people talking about it ultimately.
Yeah, it's one of those, isn't it, that now you can start to look and go, okay, well, look, maybe we would have played him. You know, maybe he would have had more game times, and maybe this is one of those things that's actually, it's been a bit lucky for Adam Lallana in some regards. You know, we've been far better, far more dangerous in 4-3-3 in the last two league games with Adam Lallana in that side, without a doubt. And the question mark prize that is just because Shaqiri's not good enough. Well, if Shaqiri's been actually struggling for fitness, it makes you think he's probably said he's okay. He's probably been putting himself up there, but, you know, in training, has he been able to go fully at it? And then if you're not performing in training, Klopp's not going to put you in the side. And then ultimately he's reached the point where he's not right. Fine, let's hope he gets back, and let's hope that, because I'd rather him be out for 2 weeks and come back fine, rather than us have than the reality be he's fell out with Klopp because he's a gobshite, or he doesn't work hard enough, so that's why he can't get in the team, because he's not coming back from that. That's you want to hand to nothing with this manager.
Yeah,
so
you're a player down until the end of the season, if that's the case.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, let's hope he comes back sooner rather than later, and he can have a real telling impact on the injury front as well. Robbo has got an abscess.
He's painful.
I've never had one. I've heard that it's bad. All the talk was he was going to miss all the international games, but he's so desperate to play. He's going to basically pay for his own travel to link up for the second game, they reckon, with Scotland.
Where's the second game?
Nowhere. One of the, is it Belarus, Scotland, or something, like it? I don't know.
The megabus don't go there, do
they? Nah, I don't think so. And I wouldn't want him on one anyway, to be fair, although I'm sure he'd be bang up.
He could pay for every seat. Yeah, still only cost about 50 quid.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, let's hope he's fine. I mean, this is the nature of him. Look, he's the Scottish captain, isn't he? I think any hopes of him taking the easy route out and bailing out of these games for his fitness was never going to happen. But it's another good thing we talked about him. Where does he get his rest? If he only, fingers crossed in some regards, I don't think for him.
You're not getting rest on the megabus, by the way.
No, God, no. But, you know, for in his regard, he'll want to put him opposite. Part of me's hoping that he does at least miss a game, because it's just minutes that he's not going to be playing. He's not going to be getting a game off. I know he's going to miss the first leg of the Champions League, but he's going to play almost every minute of every game.
Milner or Moreno?
For that game? I'd have had no doubts about it being Alberto Moreno up until January. And that's not fair, because he wasn't bad. He didn't have a great game against Wolves, but we had the most makeshift defensive lineup we'd had since the last time we played a team lower down than us in the early rounds of the FA Cup. So I'd probably go Milner.
Yeah, I think I'd go Milner as well.
Joe Gomez should be back after the international break. Great. I really hope to see him back and fully fit. I don't think we should be looking to rush him back by any stretch, but that's another one. You know, it's the right time for that.
I don't think he goes back in. About this the other day. I think, you know, probably a rotation for Trent, maybe at right back. A few minutes here and there, maybe 20 minutes at the end of a game or whatever, spell Matip.
Well, here's one for you. You've got the Porto game coming up. You could put Gomez right back and Trent left back.
Interesting. Yeah. Or just Gomez left back.
Yeah. One of them things, isn't it? Where that's another option that's not being necessarily being looked at for that. But you're right. There's no need to.
Matip's in great form.
Yes.
Absolutely great form. If you ignore the own goal he scored, and even then he had to do that.
I thought he was better than Van Dijk, actually. And, you know, for large periods of that game. So yeah, it was unfortunate, and I'm glad that it was recognised. I think I said to you during that game that it's a shame that it almost is a blot on his copybook, because he'd been absolutely excellent up until the goal. And
but it didn't let him bother
well.
Him. No. Did not let him bother him at all. No. Like,
but that's a good situation to be in. Same with Lovren at the minute. Is that Lovren's back? But there's no need to. Why? What's the point? You're only putting Lovren in to get him some minutes, such that if you have to put him in, he's not. You know, he's not. Totally
I'm looking at the games that are currently on paper for Liverpool. And, you know, earlier on in the season, I'd go, that's a Matip game, that's a Lovren game, that's a Matip game, that's a Lovren game. I'm looking at them all going, they're all Matip games at the moment. Mm-hmm. had Tottenham and Chelsea maybe been away games, I might look at them differently.
Yeah.
But with them being at home, I'm like, yeah, Matip.
This could be one of those situations, though, where it happens, you call it like teacher holiday syndrome, where every teacher gets ill the second they get to a major holiday because they've just been scrapping the way through, staying on top, getting above that, and they all get holidays and they go, bleh. Like Matip finally sees the reinforcements arrive and just goes, jelly-limbed, collapses to the
floor.
Like
one of them fucking car things.
Yeah, but like when you just pull the plug out and like the wavy garb inflatable tube man just goes and collapses. Like, yeah, that's basically what he might end up like. But good, it's better to be in that situation than not being it. But you're right, good to have Gomez back early. Interesting, something you referenced there, Chris. We've just obviously looking at the games ahead, just done a special over on the redmentv.com, the running special. Me, Steve, Ross sat down. It was meant to be 45 minutes. I think it was actually over an hour in the end. We were talking about all the remaining fixtures. We were talking about and work out who City are playing, the order of things, how things were likely to go, factoring a lot of the conversations, looking not just at who we were playing and who they were playing, but how the fixtures fell for the teams they were playing as well. So like a great example of this is we've obviously got Chelsea after the first Porto game, and they've got Crystal Palace, but Chelsea will have played the Thursday before that, haven't played Slavia Prague, etc., etc. So really interesting,
proper in-depth,
really in-depth conversation about all that stuff, and it made us all feel loads better about how things are going to pan out. It's tasty. It's going to be very, very tasty. But that's over on the website. So go over there to the redmentv.com, sign up and watch that. And there is, of course, the Reds News Roundup special, more in-depth chat about Paulo Dybala and what he could do and what he could fit in, and the Sadio Mane to Real Madrid stuff.
Is that special out now?
The special will be out. If it's not out now, it will be out very, very shortly.
So today,
on the website. Excellent. So yeah.
Okay. Driving home.
Why not? Yes.
Podcast app. On the way home.
Yeah, exactly. Lovely. You can get the audio version or you can get the video version. It's free for the first month. So have a look, see how you get on with it. Some brilliant stuff coming up between now and the end of the season. Perfect time because the Reds are as close to perfect as making odds. We've got a sponsor this week, Chris.
We do. It's Tokyo time, baby.
In case you haven't noticed, and you won't have noticed if you're listening to the audio version, but if you're watching on YouTube, you might have noticed that we did a vote. It was 3 weeks ago now. We were sat here together. We asked you to vote on which of the Tokyo Time hats Chris would have to wear the next time we sat here together. You cast your vote. Thank you.
You screwed me over. All of you screwed me over again.
Yeah, thanks very much. All I asked was that you didn't vote for the all black one, which was it's a nice hat, but that all black one there's levels to caps, I think, and that one I love a bit. I've got the all black Liverpool shirt from this season. That black cap is fit. But no, Chris is wearing the pink one. I'm wearing it splendidly.
I thought so.
You want to tell you what it's a mark of a good hat, Chris?
What?
Is that you're sat here wearing an all pink cap, and look, let's be honest, you're not a metrosexual man. You're not one of them. You're not like Bailey. You know, you're not like one of these young hip lads. You're not like, you know, with the skinny jeans and turns up and no socks and all that kind of fella. You're more
I can't fit into skinny jeans, no. Though, Paul. That's why.
No,
I've tried them. I can't get them past my calves.
They're just cool. They're just boot fit, aren't they? Skinny ones.
I've taken a few pairs into the old changes.
What I'm driving at is that there's nothing wrong with the pink hat for people who've got that type of style. It's just not your style. But the trick is, even though it's a pink cap on a very much a man's man that you are, Chris.
A man's man. That's like the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
It's still a bloody good cap. thank you to Tokyo Time for sponsoring us. If you want to get involved and get your own Tokyo Time hats, you can, Chris. How can they
do that? Of course you can. You just follow the bit.ly link in the video. It's bit.ly/TokyoTime_RedmenTV. The discount code that we've got is for 20% off these fantastic Tokyo Time caps, and it is REDMEN20. Links are in the video description, of course. They're helping us, they're supporting us, and if you guys can support them, if you like the look of the caps, then please go and do that, because they are box caps, to be fair. Like,
if you just joined us for the first time on the pod, because every video is someone's first video, I forget this at times, you missed out on us showcasing a few of them the other week. Go over, click the link, and just show what I mean about that all black cap. I'm not lying. It's incredible. And like I've said this before, and I'll say it again, I'm not a hat person. But I may not know hats, but I know what I like.
You've said that before, Paul.
Absolutely. So go over there. Every show, someone's first show, Chris. You can't just be like, anyway, Liverpool, fine, aren't they? Said this last week. Go over there, check out the link in the description underneath. But yeah, it's all lowercase otherwise. bit.ly/TokyoTime_RedmenTV And yeah, you can get 20% discount. So do that. Get involved with all that. And we'll continue to showcase the phenomenal content and hats being made by those wonderful people at Tokyo Time via the head of one Mr. Chris Pajak in the coming weeks. Fulham, Chris, I don't want to dwell too much on this. We've done quite a lot. And there's some other stuff I actually want to give a bit more time to. Predominantly a lot of the fan experience we had in Munich the other week, we haven't really had a chance to discuss that, and I think it was really, really interesting. But on Fulham, how vital was it that we got that win at the end of that week, or more importantly, that couple of weeks?
Massive, man. I mean, obviously we get to put the pressure on Manchester City a little bit and all that type of stuff, but really, just for me and for everybody out there who's a Liverpool fan, knowing that this Liverpool side with 15 minutes to go can turn a result round and get a win, that's championship winning form. Mm-hmm. That's what people who want to be champions in this league go and do.
Yeah.
They've always done it, and you have to do it.
Yeah.
And I think we knew right then and there whether they're going to be up for this fight or not, whether we're going to be in this for the long haul or not, whether we make it or we don't. I know from that last 15 minutes that this side are not bottlers, they will not bottle it, and they will try their hardest at every single point during a game of football to get the win over the line.
I look forward to seeing the Curb Your Enthusiasm music added to that clip in a couple of weeks' time. But no, you're dead right. I had a real sense of when I, because I said this on the Final Word show, I was at a wedding at the time, so I was kind of getting the scores fed to me, and that just real like, fuck off at one all, thinking I can't not, like, please don't, like, don't go out with a whimper. Because, and I said this about the bet we had it with the Burnley game as well. There's been a couple of opportunities handed to Liverpool, whether they were handed through refereeing mistakes or by, you know, James Milner spooning one through, and Virgil van Dijk and Alisson conspiring together to make it hard for ourselves, to make it hard for Ryan Babel's happiness. We've been handed opportunities to bottle it. To throw it all away. And I
Burnley?
Yeah, well, no, exactly.
Burnley?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what you're talking about, isn't it? You know, you look at that and you go, we can blame absolutely everything that's not us.
Yeah.
And we didn't. We just turned it around.
And we did. And this was, we had an opportunity there to, that could have been our moment. That could have been the Steven Gerrard slip moment. You know, James Milner, who's been brilliant all season, and he just does that. And then Virgil van Dijk, who's nailed on for player of the season, then goes and plays this soft header. And the lad, you know, there's £140 million worth of players there at the back who have been the rock foundation on which we've built everything this season, conspiring to throw away our title challenge. It was there. It was there for that, us to be that, to be bantered here at Liverpool once again. And I was just so... It made me feel sick to my stomach just thinking, like, not, please, Liverpool, don't be that side. You're not that side anymore. I know you're not that side anymore, so do us a favour and don't be that side anymore. So when we go on, and obviously it's a penalty, you know, which is out of your control to some extent, but, you know, Sadio Mane, amazing. You know, if anyone's going to dive to win us something, it's going to be him. Mercifully, it was a proper...
It wasn't a dive.
You know, but you know what I mean? Like, he'd have been up for it regardless of it, whether it was a solid connection or not. For him to do that, to get it, and Milner getting a chance at redemption, you're right. We talked about it on the Final Word show, which is available on the RedmenTV.com if you want to go back and listen to that, which is because it was a very, very good show, is that we... the narrative becomes, as you say, Liverpool have showcased their battling qualities. Liverpool have showed their never-say-die attitude. Liverpool have shown a willingness to fight to the bitter end, a determination to make sure that no matter what happens, they're going to be in this title race. And it could have just... And instead of the story being Liverpool have basically cut their own throats.
Yeah, and that's all you need, isn't it? As a Liverpool fan, you need to be able to hang your hat on your side and know that they're not going to go missing in the big moments. This Liverpool side won't do that.
Yeah, and the best thing about it, of course, is that we've got Sadio Mane there who's absolutely flying. And it's mad because Mo Salah's getting a bit of criticism at the moment. You look rightly or wrongly, you know, I think you can look at it, you can choose to look at it whichever way you want. I think we've mentioned this before. Mo Salah, the goal scorer, has been really disappointing for a few weeks. I think he's, you know, whatever it is in front of goal, he's lost that little magic touch. I think his all-round play has been from between phenomenal to, you know, a bit so-so during that period. Roberto Firmino's kind of getting by being Roberto Firmino. If we were reliant on those two guys last season, first and foremost, our top two goal scorers, we're now in a world where Sadio Mane's just going, don't worry, lads. Oh, flexes, pointing the direction of the goal. I'm going to go that way, and I'm going to slot a few goals for us.
Well, listen, that's what being a team is, yeah. isn't it? You know what I mean? And you can say it from the defence, you can say it from the midfield, you can say it from the attack. Who's been the standout players this season? Well, all right, you've got the one goalkeeper, that's it. You've got Virgil van Dijk at the heart of the defence, but Joe Gomez has done really well at right back this season. Trent's done really well at right back. Left back Robertson stepped up during games where Trent hasn't had a good game. Mm-hmm. In the midfield, Wijnaldum's been the star performer. Fabinho's been the star performer. Henderson comes in for a game against United and plays really well, for example. And then the front three, of course, they're all going to have spells where they hit form and where they don't. Right now it's Sadio Mane's team, but that's what having a good squad and a good team does. Yeah. That's what Liverpool have got at the moment, and we should get used to that, because mm-hmm. it's going to be like that hopefully for the next few years.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of having lads at the absolute peak of their powers at the top of their game in that side. We're no longer that side, you know, where, you know,
did you want us to be fucking reliant on Steven Gerrard forever? I mean, that, you know, it used to be a criticism. Yeah. Now, when we've got three players who can all take an equal share of it, everyone's like, oh, but Mo's not playing well. Hang on a minute, fucking Sadio's banged 11 in an 11 over here.
That's
you know what I mean?
Well, you know, we're now in a situation, you're dead right, where Gerrard was the talisman for so long. And if you didn't like that, if you wanted to be a bit more of like, again, a bit more manly man, you could have your Carragher kind of thing, like, but obviously not. You weren't getting quite the highs from that, and you had a couple of players along that way. So you had your Fernando Torres's, your Luis Suarez's, etc., etc. But like at this, you're right. At this point, I don't know if I was like 12 again. I don't know who I'd want on the back of my shirt, and that's a testament to how many amazing players that we've got at this point. And it's funny because I don't think we've got it on the podcast, but I actually want to talk about it now anyway. We've talked about this. We were only four months away since talking about Mane probably being the weak link in the front three. Yeah. Well,
it's the first question in the next show, but we can move it in here if you want.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's an incredibly difficult question to answer.
So Andrew Cowley said a lot of people thought Mane was perhaps the weakest link of our front three, but based on current form, he's performing as the best. If you had to replace one of the front three for next season, who would you choose? I mean, I don't really want to get into like slagging anyone off or whatever, but it's funny how it changes, isn't it? Because right now, you know, I've been saying all along, we need at least an understudy for Mane and someone who's going to grow to get better than, because I thought we've kind of seen the limit of it, because he's at that age now, he's not going to get much better, is he? He is about 20 goals in all comps is about his level, which is a phenomenal level for a footballer to be playing at, by the way, no matter where you play. Centre forwards who've made careers off that. Michael Owen didn't score many more than, you know.
He scored 18 in the league and won the Golden Boot 1 year.
Exactly. You know, so I, at this point in time, and again, it's funny how it goes, Roberto Firmino for me is the one. If I was looking to, because you're going, how are you going to buy someone who scores more goals? You're not going to buy someone who scores more goals than Sadio Mane on the left. You're not going to buy someone who scores more goals than Mo Salah on the right. Firmino could probably score more goals. So that's literally where it falls down. That's where it falls down for me. If you could get Firmino with a yard of pace, that's what you'd get. But
I don't know. I don't think I could pick at the moment, is the honest answer, because I asked a question on a show a few weeks ago. I don't know whether you're in the show or not, but I said, who does everyone think is the most important player to Liverpool at the moment? And actually, I don't think you were there. I think the three people I was hosting the show said Virgil van Dijk, and I said Bobby Firmino, mm-hmm. because I still think he's so important to the movement of the others. And I'm not telling you anything that you don't know here, mm-hmm. by the way. Every Liverpool fan knows how important he is.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But then I'm starting to come round to the mindset of, I actually watched Mane do a great impression of Firmino, and I'd say that it wasn't an impression of him. He played the number nine role perfectly for what this Liverpool system wanted. I've seen Mo play the number nine role really well and get into that over the course of the season. Now, can Mane do the number nine? Yes. Can Mo do the number nine? Yes. If Bobby's moved out right or left, is he anywhere near as good as the other two? No. No, he's not. Is the honest answer. But I still wouldn't want to get rid of Bobby Firmino. So I'm now looking at it and going, let's just keep these forever, boys.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sounds
good. But we're in that situation that I think that Barcelona have been in for years. When they hit the players in the peak years, so when it was, you know, say Ronaldinho, young Messi, and pick Eto. Let's say it would have been probably the longest spell because Zlatan didn't really do it there, or Neymar, Suarez, Messi. You need to have another lad between one and two of the lads you can play in the front three because they can't play 60 games a season. But it's almost impossible to go out and buy better lads than that. So you end up in a situation where people come and they don't quite scale like the heights, or you've got loads of promise but don't get the games to fulfil it, etc. Let's be honest, that's where we're at. It's going to cost,
it's where we want to be at.
Yeah, exactly. How much is it going to cost to upgrade our front three? It's basically impossible without buying someone who falls into a bracket of player that Liverpool can't really go and buy. So you're either buying someone who's already proven world class, in which case you're probably breaking the world transfer record, come close to the world transfer record to get them, and really you're only going to get 2 years out of them at the peak of the powers. So Gareth Bale,
I'll tell you what, who's a really, you know, we were talking about him earlier on, but this is the same thing with Juventus, mm-hmm. and Dybala and Ronaldo. You know, they put Ronaldo in, they facilitated him, but where their best player is now playing at nowhere near the level. You know, Liverpool might have, if they want to improve on what we've got, we might have a drop-off in everybody else because of the way that they were playing together and stuff like that. So it really is, you're absolutely right, it's about having four or five lads that can do it at the same level and then just picking your poison each and every game.
Yeah, that's it. But it's funny, I love that conversation, because inevitably Mane will have a couple of games without scoring and Mo will click back in and he'll be flying and our thinking will change on it. Firmino's going to finish on the lowest goals tally of them. He feels to me very much though like a lad who, he could just do with having the summer off. You know, he could just do with a proper rest, come back next season, we'll probably get a load more out of him. He's, again, also, as we've said, whereas Mo's, I think Mo's stats have been padded a little bit by the fact that we've had to play him centre-forward, so he's been even more the figurehead of our team. He's been in the right areas, been pushed into the areas where he has to score goals, because he's not been playing centre-forward in a 4-3-3 when he's been playing the Firmino role, where he's asked to drop more between the lines. Firmino having to go 10 means he's been moved further away from the goal. So he's probably paid the price, a combination of fatigue, but also doing more dirty work for the team.
I agree, and I also think that's the same with Salah as well. You know, it's one of the things we didn't actually talk about on the final word, is that, like, we know he went to the final of the Champions League last season. We know he picked up that injury. He worked incredibly hard to get back to give Egypt a few minutes over the course of their World Cup campaign. He didn't have any recovery time from the injury. He didn't have any recovery time when the season finished because he came straight back in and he plays every single game.
Yeah.
You know, is it surprising that he's a little bit tired? Yeah. No.
Well, look at it, you know, and again, it's, I mean, obviously all three of them went to the World Cup, didn't he? But Sadio was naturally, I think he's naturally, you know, fit, and he's just brilliant, to be perfectly honest. So, you're right. It's amazing that Salah's able to perform at the level that he's performed at, to be perfectly honest. And it's probably mental fatigue in it, as much as confidence and everything,
isn't it? Yeah,
you know, because you do, mental fatigue stems from physical fatigue as well. It's easier to get yourself buoyant when you're feeling absolutely tip top. Whereas if you're a little bit down in the dumps as well, or things are hard, it's hurting a little bit more to get out of bed because you've worn yourself down a bit.
He's probably got a little bit of imposter syndrome at the moment as well. You know, like genuinely, like.
Did you see I think I find fascinating, actually. I don't know where I saw a conversation about. It was on Red Letter Media, and they talked about how there's people out there. You know, you get the people who go on X Factor or Britain's Got Talent, and they think that they're absolutely incredible, but they don't. They're so stupid that they don't realise how terrible they are. But what you actually have is the exact opposite of that, which is, I would say, imposter syndrome with people who are amazing but don't believe that they're good enough to do it. Mo does strike me as that. I think he's got that real elite streak in him, but he does at times. You can see it in his demeanour on the pitch. Sometimes he's laughing and smiling. Other times he just seems dead angry and pissed off with himself. He could do with probably just leveling out a bit, but once he gets himself back in the zone, said this, he gets that 50th goal and he's going to fly again.
Yeah,
I think. But as I said on the final word, I can't see. I think he's trying too hard at the moment, and it's just going to happen for him. And when it does, it's just going to be the way. It's going to be one of Mo Salah's most forgettable goals of all time, and then we'll have forgotten this drought thing. And if Liverpool can get Mane plus one or two of the others, all this talk we've got about how good our season, our end of season could be, there's no limit to what we can do with the end of the season if we get those three lads going. A bit off topic for Ander, but thank you very much for the question nevertheless. We're going to move on. We're going to talk a little bit about Munich because we didn't really get a chance to, not so much the game so much as the experience of doing it, which I thought was fascinating. Before we do, Chris sat down to do his absolutely exceptional newsroom podcast last week with
literally nobody. Paul,
did you know?
No, I was in Munich with
of
you.
Of course. Did no one do it?
No.
Great. Brilliant. No newsroom podcast last week. Fuck's sake.
Also, as you say, the Jordan Pickford stuff, which, well, it was. Let's start there, because why not? It was a bizarre moment of madness from England's number one, and I don't know why we didn't get sent off.
No, I don't. It's not even being dramatic. I don't know what the rules are anymore. Mm. I don't know how someone can. Well, first of all, got away from the decision. He's fumbled the ball again and near enough handed Newcastle a goal. His personal performance, I thought, was immature, which is. Obviously.
Well, it's the way he kind of goes.
He got caught up in the Sunderland stuff, didn't he? Goading the fans and stuff. And then obviously they were 2-0 up at that point, or they were going 2-0 up, and he was being a bit of a prick. Again, this is something that VAR will clear up, and I think if VAR was about, it would have given a red card. But to me, there's some decisions that you can argue for VAR, but there's some decisions that referees should be getting anyway. He's nowhere near the ball, and he spears someone. Literally a rugby tackle away, and Rondon is about to score. Rondon just needs to take one step, kick the ball. I see enough of him go, okay, you'd argue a defender might get back.
But it's stopping a goal scoring opportunity, isn't it? And there's this whole double jeopardy thing. This is what's complicating it. We discussed last week complicated rules in the FA law book. But basically the idea is that if you give a penalty away and you're last man, you can't be sent off because then it's like a
bullshit.
Double whammy. But that's different. So the referee is therefore giving the benefit of the doubt, saying, well, he's going for the ball, which he wasn't, by the way, he really wasn't. Yeah. And has decided not to send him off by the laws of the game. So for me,
that's the problem.
That's the problem.
The laws of the game is the problem. There's no.
Feels like the second week in a row we're having this conversation.
Yeah, so it's. Yeah, I mean, again, as we said last week, common sense needs to be used, or a bit of. I can't think of the word. A bit of flexibility for referees to either, like, make it a personal thing. Again, maybe the referee didn't send him off, because if he did send him off, they'll go, well, the law says that he shouldn't be sent off. So then, you're caught in two minds. So the referee probably got stuck either way. But he wasn't going for the ball.
It was cynical. It was really cynical. And obviously, I was sat in my flat. It was mid-afternoon, wasn't it? I was actually following the Wigan game in the Championship, because that was quite a big game they were having. So I had all my score notifications on the go. And I found it quite amusing, despite being a Liverpool fan, that Everton got away with that and then basically went down the other end of the pitch and scored. I was like, that is so heartbreaking. I was like, oh, everybody will be blaming Mike Ashley and doing all that. And then obviously...
So- by the letter of the law, then,
yeah,
if someone rounded the goalkeeper,
yeah,
and you just clean them out,
it's not. It can't be a sending off. No. Sorry, no.
Because if you're the last, you're the last man.
He's got to be going for the ball, so yeah, it depends on the placement of the ball. But yeah, in theory, if somebody does you and they're literally about to shoot and you, I don't know, grab him by the shoulders, then that's going to be a sending off.
Yeah, no, but you go for a slide tackle and you're going for the ball.
Yeah, well, no, that probably won't be a sending off.
Normally we plug the Newsroom podcast, but Chris was in Munich with me last week. So the Around the League podcast, we do that every week, but it's a fantastic thing. Tom, who was on it this week?
Ben and Ross. And they spoke about all kinds of things, including VAR.
Mm. And also, Ben got slaughtered for his opinion on Man United or City winning, is it the league or something? Or the Champions League? Bless him. But anyway, here's a clip. So that they put that clip out on YouTube, and the comments are all hating on Ben because he gave his opinion. I think he said he'd rather Man United win the Champions League.
No,
than Man City.
That's a terrible take, Ben.
I know.
That's a terrible take. The Manchester United are our biggest fucking rivals, and you do not let them win anything.
You know what the problem is? It's a Sophie's choice, and the honest answer as a Liverpool fan is, I don't want either of them to win the European Cup, so that I couldn't split it. It's a lose-lose. No, whoever wins, we lose, because I don't want Man United having four European Cups. Funnily enough, I went to UCFB University to interview some students in the week. So sat in the Etihad and looking around, and I was talking to Ross about it. And look, it's a fantastic ground. They've got everything set up there, but you know, we joke about the empty had, ha 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 ha. I used that joke. Well, obviously it was empty. But they are a football club that are ready to be one of the biggest football clubs in the world. And the only thing that's standing between them and that is being in a European Cup final and moreover winning a European Cup.
And loads of fans.
But that's what you get that when you win a European Cup. And that's what I mean, because I've spoken to so many Liverpool fans who came to this football club. I know a guy, Carl Norris, who's a good friend, met through Redmen. The Athens final, 2000, we lost that final, but he got to watch that game. He saw Liverpool and went, I like that football club, I like the way that football club is. And took them to heart. That's what happens. The Arsenal have got so many fans because they were constantly in the Champions League for that period. So you could watch them, they had really good players in addition to that. That's how you win fans on the continent. Liverpool got to the European Cup final last season, and I was in Berlin at postseason. There was just Liverpool stuff everywhere because we were there, and it grows you. It shouldn't be underestimated that this is the problem. And there is no right answer, because you don't want Man United catching or getting anywhere near. The same way they don't want us to win the league title for the same reason. There will be no stopping Man City if they win a European Cup. They will be the biggest football club in the world, because they've got all the money in the world. They've got the finances, they've got the resources, they've got the setup, they've got the academy, they've got the campus around, all that stuff. They've got a stadium that they can grow whenever they want to. That the worst thing that could possibly happen to us as a football club is to have an all Manchester European Cup final. That would be the absolute fucking worst.
I'd still want United to lose, me.
Yeah, I couldn't. It's just horrible. It's like asking which one of your arms you want to cut off, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
You'd cut your right arm off.
I don't know, just came to me.
Okay, fine. Which is your mouse hand?
My right. Can I see mouse? Great.
But you'd have to. Okay.
I've learned over the course of the last few weeks that I'm decent with my left hand at Golden Tee, aren't I? So I think I'd just pick it up quite easily.
You probably would.
Get a lot more sympathy for losing the arm that you're right with.
Just on the... Okay.
I think.
Okay, sure.
I didn't put much thought into this.
No, no, of course not.
I plucked one of two words out of this tiny little brain of mine, and it said right.
Absolutely. I want to talk about Munich, as I say, not necessarily the game, although the game was absolutely fantastic. I was absolutely blown away by the experience of going to that game. Now, I went to the Allianz summer before last for the Audi Cup and thought it was fine. It was tarred a little bit by there was a big issue around backpacks and they wouldn't let in, and we had a real struggle getting the cameras in and what have you. We didn't have that at all. We didn't take the cameras this time. I expected, Bayern Munich, because of the fact that they are the Manchester United of German football, they are absolutely loathed by everyone who's not a Munich fan in Germany. They are I expect them to be this massive, soulless conglomerate entity like Manchester United are. You know, big stadium with loads of people who just go to, you know, because it's a holiday destination, because it's a bucket list thing, not because they are diehard fans of that football club. And I went, and every single thing about that as experience, going as a fan and moreover going as a travelling fan, I thought was as close to perfection as I've seen from following Liverpool.
Exactly the same. And listen, we've spoken about it already, so you know I'm in exactly the same boat here. And, you know, it's everything about it. It was just chatting to people in pubs and bars and just having a general chat about the footy with them. We went to the ground and you said to us, you know, we weren't with you at the time, me and Aubrey got a train there. We got a train packed with Bayern Munich fans and people were talking to us, sound, no worries, no issues whatsoever. And you said, there's nothing really at the ground. Get off or stop early. And we were like, oh, can't be arsed, to be honest with you. So we just chanced it. There was somewhere we could have a beer, about 5-minute walk away from the ground, a couple of little things set up where you can have a little bit of a scran or whatever, have a beer. We stood at a table with a Bayern Munich fan, chatted to him for about 40 minutes. He wished us good luck. We told him we wanted to have ruin his night. And then we went our separate ways. We walked down there with Bayern Munich fans. It was brilliant. We stopped for photos. Everyone, we were very obviously Liverpool fans. You know, you're not like cowering and all that type of stuff. You get there, we got searched dead quick. Wasn't asked at all. Got through the turnstiles. No segregation whatsoever.
Yep.
Literally no segregation. And this is the thing, and I said it at the time to Aubrey, is when you put walls in anything, when you put walls up, you're telling people that they're different to you.
Yeah.
And that is politics, that is life, that is there's absolutely everything. Bayern Munich didn't do that. They trusted us to go about our business, and we trusted them to go about theirs, and it was fucking superb being treated like an adult at a game of football
in Europe. It's like they've... And I've seen people... Because I tweeted about it, and I've seen people subsequently saying, like, that's the consensus about German football in general. Like, I mean, the experience of it. There's a trust that's been placed in football fans there because they're basically saying, OK, look, if you want to be treated like adults and you want to be treated like normal people, go ahead. Go ahead and do it. What I thought was really interesting was the rules were there. The rules were clearly laid out. People who broke the rules, they came down on them like a ton of bricks. So people who were caught with false tickets were getting €400 fines and being locked up and missing the game. If you were caught with a fake ticket, that was the thing. Now, if that happens to you, are you ever going to try and bunk into a game with a fake ticket again? Like, if you're that kind of person, maybe. The same people who don't do it on trains. But by and large, and if you heard that story, like, I would never now try and get into Bayern Munich on a...
No.
On a fake ticket, no, because I'm not paying £400. I'm not missing the game. I'd rather just go and sit in the pub and watch it if I'm going to do that kind of thing. So it discourages knobheads. It discourages people who don't treat it with respect. I saw some lads getting legged for jumping over and what have you. There was a few instances where I got told actually by one of the Liverpool stewards that some lads started smoking weed. Bang, down them like a ton of bricks, cart them off. And you might say it's a bit draconian, but again, if you're there to watch the football, they're giving you every avenue possible to watch and enjoy the football. You can have a bevy, it's well appointed, so there's plenty of facilities to do that, plenty of toilets, plenty of easy access to all the things. Again, you're allowed to mingle, you're not being penned in, you're not doing any of those things.
Didn't keep us behind.
None of that. They didn't, like, you know, we didn't need an armed guard, an escort or anything. But they're saying, like, look, we're not going to facilitate you breaking the law to watch football, but we're going to protect you in the football watching experience. And that's where, in this country, they get an arse about tit, because they see football fans as the scum, as scum of the earth, who are the people who cause all the problems around football. And so everyone's on this vigilant alert for a football fan who's going to fuck it. And it's going the other way now, even worse in this country, because you saw that stuff with the Jack Grealish stuff the other week, and some absolute fucking knobheads coming out. I can't remember the name of the fella who said, like, I'm not saying that you should, all police should be armed at football games, but blah, 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 blah. And it worked out as a percentage. It was like less, it was a point something of a percent of people who went to a football match went onto a pitch.
It's minuscule.
Exactly. And you get these people, fucking weirdos. I mean, this is the culture we're in, a very conservative backwards culture that we're in at the moment in this country. and instead of allowing people to, you know, have a bevy, you can watch, you can drink a beer in your seat at Anfield at any other event that
Rugby
is held at Anfield.
Is held at Anfield every year now, isn't it? And you can have a beer there. Yeah. And you can be sat in your same seat. In fact, I remember Gareth Roberts from the Rap literally went and sat in his own seat in the Kop and had a beer. Yeah. And he posted it and he's like, why am I not allowed to do this?
I am more likely to throw a beer and act like a twat. Well, I'm more likely to throw a bevy at Gary Barlow in the Take That gig than I am a Liverpool game, let's be perfectly honest, because let's face
it's ages secure.
You're gonna get a, but you're gonna get a, but this is the thing, increase the punishments for people who break the law and break the things, but trust people to do it. And that's the thing, it's gonna take a while, it's gonna take trust, and there might be a little period where there maybe is a bit of problem and some people do take the piss. Like the safe standing stuff is an example. I've seen safe standing, I've been in safe standing, and I saw some lads standing on the barricades, and it's like, that's the reasons why they're the people who are why you get in trouble with in England. But all you do is anyone who's caught on it, you go, right, you've got a two-game stadium ban if you use it in a stupid manner. Don't those people within a season, it'll be sound. You won't have people doing that. You get banned from sitting in the Kop because you abuse the Kop, then people won't abuse the Kop, etc. And I just thought, again, and in addition to this, because the atmosphere generated by their fans,
yeah, superb.
It's meant to be fucked. That's probably the worst you're likely to get, because they are such a mega entity, and yet they managed to generate a brilliant atmosphere, create a brilliant footballing experience, and we twatted them as well.
And you know, after the game as well, not enough. You know, I said a minute ago there we weren't kept in. We got home on the train with all the Bayern Munich fans.
Yeah.
Didn't see anything, nothing whatsoever. We went in the same train station as all the German fans and there was no segregation. I can't remember seeing any police. There might have been police there. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of police presence, if there was. It was just, from start to finish, the best away experience of actually going to the football.
There was, I did it, and I don't know whether it's for public consumption, but there were double figures arrests, but they were all just literally for people getting in on fake tickets or people breaking actual laws, not for, you know, like just that, you know, not for drunken antics or not for the things that you're supposed to get arrested for. I say supposed to in inverted commas for podcast listeners, you know, like the not for hooligan behaviour of being an absolute antisocial knobhead, because you're there to watch the footy and it's encouraged. I thought it was brilliant, and I just wanted to make mention of it here. Have you got the scarf, Chris?
Of course I've got the scarf.
Yeah, so we want to do a little shout out for the 12 men. They've invented this. It's a singing Liverpool scarf. Yeah. It's a scarf. It's a Liverpool bar scarf that plays the song of it. Doesn't stop. Okay.
It is meant. You know, I think it does. Steve's got it down. Like, he knows how to do it. We just have to wait for it. It's fine because it's a good song. My kids would love that. They'd absolutely love that, my kids.
I mean, listen, going to be honest, not for me. But if it is for you, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Different strokes for different folks. The guys at the 12th Men have done it. They've given us a discount code as well. Go to the12thmen.com and use RedmenTV, lowercase, one word, for 10% off. So if you want your own singing scarf. Good God. So there you go. That's a singing scarf. If you want one of them, get over and do it. I'm going to have to put it over there. Because I need to finish the podcast. But yeah, thank you very much for those for sending that in.
Who'd have thunked it?
That's up there with that's only the second most random Liverpool thing I think I've been sent. Do you remember the Mario Balotelli snooze?
Yes,
we got sent.
Remember
that had like a Super Mario thing on. They're well better. They're well better than that. We've got time very briefly because I need to go. For a couple of questions. Matt Froud, would you rather be stuck with Sturridge's musculoskeletal system, Dejan Lovren's immune system, or Sam Allardyce's cardiovascular system?
I think the answer is Sturridge.
Because even though,
listen, he's an elite athlete,
yeah,
who happens to be injured a fair bit.
Mm.
He's an elite athlete, I'll say it again.
I'm not. Yeah, I'd take of the thing. I think from what I think from my reading of it, what I think he's gone for is Lovren's just fine. It just he just gets a few too many colds and stuff, doesn't he? That's fine. You can treat that with like echinacea and you know and some vitamin C. I reckon. If I wanted to be the peak me, definitely not Allardyce because I want to live a long, happy life. I want to be able to enjoy gravy without thinking it's going to kill me. I'm not sure it's his
cardiovascular system that's the problem, to be honest. I think it's his gravy addiction.
Well, yeah, it's the gravy pumping tap. Round his you veins that's the problem, yeah. I'd take Lovren's immune system anyway.
Plus Allardyce's mates with them two off being sports.
Oh my God. That every time I see a being sports, it's like they know, it's like they've hired them just because they know it's going to make any rational football fan lose their head whenever they say some absolute shite. But anyway, we digress. Brody Keenan, would you rather have to run Toffee TV or have Toffee TV run
Redmen? There's only one answer here, and it's to run Toffee TV for them.
Toffee TV would be incredible if we ran that. We'd run that better than them. They couldn't possibly run this better than us because they'd just be this Redmen would be so dour and miserable if they were in charge.
It's true, boys.
It's true. Bless them. Bless them. Anyway, Toffee TV EFC on YouTube. Go and check them out. We love them, boys.
Toffee TV EFC 1 on YouTube.
Is it? Still got the 1 at the end?
Because they're the second person that's come up with that name.
Absolute knobhead. Brilliant. Right, there is a bonus Q&A going up on the redmedtv.com and we answer loads more questions, including Ryan O'Donnell saying, what is the breaking non-story that's going to pop up to fill paper inches and make everyone feel they're angry, etc., etc.? A Desert Island Disc style, 5 highlight reels from different footballers. That's the only football you'll ever get to see again. Mixing our current team and bench with the 08-09 team. If you could be a multi-billionaire and buy any football club in the world that wasn't Liverpool, what would it be? And then a few other bits and pieces as well. So get over to the redmentv.com as well as all the things that we've mentioned. Just boss. Perfect time to get involved. And it's just £5 a month as well for audio and for video content, more than you can possibly fill your life with. So get involved with all that stuff. And other than that, we'll be back with the podcast next week. Don't forget to get and check out the Tokyo Time website as well and use that discount code and the 12 men for the singing scarf and all. Other than that, this has been the podcast. Woha.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.